Hello, welcome to the Friday Night Conversation, and tonight we are talking about church. It's called Let's Talk Church. We kind of thought that was a sort of an apt thing to talk about because this is church. And but obviously, you know, with the season that we've just had, what's it going to look like moving forward? How do we make it work? We'll maybe have a chat about online church and stuff like that as well. And how do you make that work? And online church and in-person services, you know, what are the pros and cons of both? So we'll have a bit of a chat around those things tonight. Hope you really enjoy it. And a special hello, of course, to everybody who's listening on Spotify as well. Really hope that you enjoyed it. If you do enjoy it, make sure that you subscribe. Make sure that you spread the word as well. And so we're going to be here for the next 30 minutes, hour, something like that. We just never know how long we're actually going to be here, but we're going to have a good chat tonight. I've got Pastor Jonah Dykes with us tonight, him and his wife, Becca, wonderful people. Jonah leads our Leicester campus of the Junction Church, great couple. We've also got Pastor Joe with us tonight. He leads our Nottingham congregation. And let me give you a little bit of an exclusive bit of news, which is that our Nottingham campus is back again. We'll give you more details on Sunday, but those services are back on again. So that means that all of our campuses are essentially meeting again. So this is all good stuff. So Loughborough's back, Nottingham's back, Leicester's back, and our Hawaiian campus is back.
Personally, looking very promising.
So let's talk church. First of all, I think that if there is a lesson that we have learned in this season, it is that online is a deal.
True.
Obviously, we did have a lot of online stuff as a church before. You know, we used to post sermons and so on our YouTube channel. So we go back years doing that. But of course, we never really did whole services online. Now we do. So it's a sort of a mix of in-person and online. But I want us to talk for a few moments about online, because I recognize we've got a really great online community. We just love you guys loads, and we know that there are a lot of people for different reasons who connect on online. For some people, I guess it's because, you know, you live in another nation, so you love the church. You can't physically, you can't just jump on a plane and get here every Sunday morning, but you can certainly be a part of us online, and we're trying to make it as accessible as possible.
It's great.
For some people, still a little bit of, I don't know, maybe a little bit of apprehension, I guess, because of the season that we've just had, and maybe you have not received your vaccine yet, and you're just biding your time. And then once all that gets sorted out, you'll be back in person again. But listen, you know, we try not to put pressure on people with all that stuff. We do like to see people in the room, of course we do. But you know, we just are grateful that you're part of our online community, and it's great. And so I wanted to talk about that just to begin with, which is, how do you make online work? You know, so how do you make it work? I think I'm going to begin this now. I'm going to open it up to conversation. See, I think that if you want to make online, and I'm thinking now of the online Sunday services, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. If you want to make it work, I think that you have to be intentional about it. I think the danger with online church or an online service is that it can be like the laptop in the corner of the room. Church is on, but you're not listening. You're not engaging with the worship. You're not listening to the message. You're not really, you know, paying attention to what's going on. Or it can be on your TV. You can have a big, massive TV and it can be on, but it's not really meaning anything to you. So I think for it to work, I think for online church to work, you've got to be careful that it's not just a bunch of noise in the room. There's got to be intentionality. So in other words, you've almost got to psych yourself. I remember during the first lockdown, especially, we would, you know, when we recorded our services, of course, that's a story in itself. But, you know, as a little family, we dressed up every Sunday morning, even though we couldn't go anywhere, but we wanted to be ready to experience the presence of God. And that was our little sort of Sunday morning routine, and it really made Sundays special for us. I think that's important. I think if you're going to make online work, you've got to give it some intentionality. You've got to give it your full attention. You've got to recognize it for what it is. And then really engage with that as well. Any other thoughts? Then how do you make online work?
Yeah, because I remember during that, I was thinking back to the first lockdown as well, Pastor Ray, because I remember for
us, you know, would tune in to the online services, and you know, we would have the laptop in the room, we'd be in our pajamas and everything, you know, which I feel like, you know, guilty as charged. Yeah, I think the whole thing of being intentional about it really matters. I found for myself, a real challenge was actually engaging with the praise and worship side. I think that was one that definitely required a lean in and a decision to worship. Awesome. Because, you know, during the teaching, you know, that for me, dare I say for both of us, you know, that's something that actually, wow, there we go. Away we go. Actually, that's something that, you know, really interested to learn and really want to grow and lean into that. But during the worship, actually, you know, I guess the Bible tells us that that's a really key part of exercising our faith is singing praise to God, singing praise and worship to God. But actually, you know, being in home, actually, the thing was for us, it's very easy to just sit back on the sofa and watch all of it happen. You know what I mean?
Because it is a different experience. And let's be honest, it really is a different experience when you are observing online worship. Versus being in the room and experiencing live worship with hundreds of people raising their hands and you know, worshiping God. I mean, I suppose in one sense there isn't really a comparison in you're part of the live experience in the room versus observing it. So I think for online you've just got to recognize it for what it is and say, all right, this is not the best. But I've got to make this experience work, and then settle your heart and just begin to enter into it. Think about the words, you know, think about God. I suppose that is worship, isn't it? Worship is what you set your mind on. Worship is giving God your attention. I mean, worship isn't just to do with singing. When you're listening to good Bible teaching, 100%. That is also an expression of worship because you're focusing on the word. I think that worship requires focus as well. Anything to add to that in terms of the general question of how do you make online church work?
Yeah, I think for me, I think one of the things that I actually really loved that I almost didn't expect to miss, which sounds bad, but I'll explain, was actually the community of feeling like you're talking with people and engaging with people. You know, a few of us are representing the introverted side of life up here, and there was a part of me that thought, oh, how nice. I can sit at home, I can watch the people, I can clap the people, but I don't have to talk to the people, you know, which sounds bad, but I know some of you relate. But actually, the stuff that I really felt was important and fed my faith was even the simple things like the comment culture that we have at the Junction Church and feeling like you're communicating with people. You know, when there was someone new who would put a comment, all of the welcome that would happen, you know, the list of messages would be, oh, we're so happy to have you. It's so great to have you here. And then after the service, you know, we'd have the, what did we call it? The Zoom vibe. Zoom hangouts afterwards. Which was like the equivalent of when we'd, you know, stand around and have coffee with each other. And actually, I found that was amazing. And in many ways, it brought new things because, you know, we're based in the Leicester campus. And actually, I got to meet and speak to a lot of people in Loughborough who actually I've not met before and not had the chance to get to know. And in some ways, that brought more to than what we could have. And I think things like that are what we need to embrace, I guess, how to make it work rather than, oh, it doesn't work, you know, that kind of attitude.
No, I think that's a really brilliant point. I was talking to one family, and I think this represents a lot of people, and they joined the church during the lockdown, but they were very, you know, engaged in the services. They were commenting on the comment section. They felt like they were part of the church before they actually ever got to an in-person service. Right. They felt like they knew people before they'd ever got to an in-person service. So I think that engaging really helps, positively engaging.
Definitely.
I mean, if you're going to be negative, you know, well, we'll just block your comments. you'll never be heard. But
books, I mean, online.
critical, mean-spirited, oh, that was rubbish, I didn't like that, or sarcastic. Well, that's just never going to do it. Yeah. But we don't get that at the Junction Church. But people who get on there, I think that really helps, the engaging and the comments really helps to make it a meaningful experience. So in other words, the preacher says something and you quote a sentence of what they say. And actually, in a sense, I find that personally quite powerful because it seals the truth of what I guess what the Holy Spirit is trying to say into your own spirit as well. Yeah, or if you're if during a worship song you quote a line. Yeah. I remember one morning we were singing, this was during the first lockdown, we were singing the song King of Kings. And there was a line in there and everybody just wrote the line. It was like not contrived or anything like that. It was just everybody was there, our hearts were there. It was like so it was the next best thing to being in the room.
That's it.
So I think that's a really powerful point. So if you're, if you want to make online church work, engage. Get on those comments, big it up, you know, give God some praise, give God some genuine affection from your heart, and that makes you feel like you're part of the experience as well. Definitely. For me, that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Again, same question to you. How do you make, and of course, we're not just talking about Sundays, but we also have midweek as well. Yeah. So how do you make
read
online?
Read my mind there, Pastor.
Word of knowledge, boom.
Boom, straight in. Because I was going to say, you know, the engaging thing is absolutely crucial, because what the reason why in person, you know, it really works is because it's, you know, as human beings, we're all interacting, aren't we? And so it kind of solidifies the experience. When you get on the comments and online culture, it's almost a bit of that. It gets you in. That's the intentional kind of connecting with what's going on. And the beauty of that is because we're online, you don't have to limit yourself to that, you know, hour and a half, or however long it is on a Sunday at 11 a.m. Actually, you can join a life group. All those people that you're chatting to. I love seeing some of the YouTube names, okay? I don't know, Happy Cook 2132. I'm like, who the heck is Happy Cook? For
Mika.
You know, exactly. Like, who are these people? Pardon me. But then what you can do is you can get involved in a life group. And life groups is just, you know, it's, what it is it's smaller groups of people. Meet together, we do live together, we talk about what was preached, we encourage one another, we pray. We have been having, by the way, sorry, little segue, but we have been having so many answered prayers over the last few months in live groups across the Junction Church. It's just been amazing to hear. And, you know, that's just a snapshot of stuff that's going on, and you can absolutely be a part of that.
Yeah.
Even if you, even if you're in, I know there's a lady who was in, I think it was Colombia, who was a part of our life group. And that's amazing, because you can join in and now you can put faces to those names and solidify those relationships.
Yeah.
So then the next Sunday when you're on online church, you start to see some of your friends there, and all of a sudden it's now more of a community, your family, as opposed to something you're observing. You're actually part of that, because you know that actually I get to talk about this on a Wednesday or a Thursday. I get to do life with these people that I'm watching with as well.
Yes, and I think that's such a good point. And I think getting back to the Sunday service, we you know, there was I think that very much during the lockdown it was finding your faith, what works for us. I think what we came to the conclusion at the Junction Church, we could have built our own platform on our website, which would have given us lots of options about praying and so on, but we didn't want to do that, because for me that would have become insular. So in other words, we're only talking to our community, but we're not talking to the world. But then we also had to make a call. So we were on Facebook, we were on YouTube, and, you know, pros and cons with both. But we decided in the end, let's go to YouTube. I think we went to YouTube because the figures of YouTube are more honest. You know, the problem with Facebook is you were getting really encouraged. Well, we had 3 million people watch our service last Sunday, but actually it wasn't true. Because you know how it is in Facebook, you pass by a lot of videos when you're scrolling through, but they're all counted as views. So it lulls, I think, a church into a false sense of security. We were getting like thousands of people, you know, watching, whereas it's more like hundreds. And that's probably a better reflection of our church. So YouTube is better for us, but also it creates that sense of oneness as well. It's one platform. That's where we are all. On a Sunday, we're not in two different places on a Sunday morning. Online, we don't need to be in different places. We are in one forum, and I thought that was quite weak. Again, if only we'd known that at the very beginning. I remember at the very beginning of the lockdown, we had like seven repeat services through the Sunday, just in case anybody might have missed one, you know. And then we realized we may be just going a little overboard here, but it was just we were trying to find our feet, and we've worked out that obviously the, you know, the YouTube channel is probably it just works for us. It's much better for us. So online is a deal, and we recognize that it's a big deal for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their expression of church in this season. It's helpful for people who do shift work, for example, that they may not be able to make it. You know, you're a doctor, so you'll get it. You may be away on a Sunday so that you can watch back in the service. Mm. But let's have an honest conversation about the pros and cons of online church as well. Mm-hmm. So it is a deal. Mm. We will always now live stream our services. Yeah. That is just culture now. Yeah. Every Sunday morning, we've chosen the 11 a.m. service. That's our broadcast service. Mm. Yeah. So we tailor that service just so that it's shaped a little bit better, so that it really works for our online community. But pros and cons, let's go to you first, Joe, then. We've kind of talked about the pros. It gets people connected in.
Yeah.
What do you think the dangers of online church, though, that we ought to watch out for? Mm-hmm.
I think online church is great when it's a solution to a challenge to getting into your local church. Mm. Yes. I think that it's great as a solution, but when it becomes the replacement, or when it becomes a primary alternative, and it's like, actually, I could go to church in person, but I don't need to because it's online. Mm. And then what happens is, you know, that can be the start of actually neglecting community and neglecting all the benefits that you get from community. I think it's in Hebrews 10 where it talks about not giving up meeting together as people are in the habit of doing. I think, like, Paul's absolutely right when he says that. And it's not like a legalistic, you must go to church. It's actually because there's so much that you gain from being in person. Mm. Like, now that we've gone back to in-person services, it's just been amazing. Just seeing people in the room, being back in the room, worshiping together. Yeah. There's something in that communal aspect that you just cannot manufacture. Mm. And whilst online church is great, I think the danger is when I decide, for example, that actually, you know what, like, I'm not working on a Sunday, like, church is only 30 minutes down the road. Mm. I've got no other reason other than it's more comfortable to stay at home and watch church online, so I'm not going to go in person. Yeah. And I think that's where that danger can start to creep in, and we find ourselves getting more and more detached from our church community.
Yes.
And I think that can be, I think that's the major con, really.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we were talking
about it. I think that's spot on, actually. I think that's absolutely right. And I think that, again, as Christians, we need to have a proper understanding of the theology of church.
Right.
Mm. First of all, I would observe as a pastor that isolated spirituality in theory, you know, to be a hermit in the wilderness is a brilliant idea, especially for an introvert, and I am an introvert. I think if we've learned anything from 2020 and the beginning of 2021, it is that you really cannot, if we're really honest, your spirituality will not flourish in isolation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way that God has designed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, if you read the book of Ephesians, where Paul is really talking about church and the purpose of church, it is, you know, is what is it? It's community, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. It's being together, yes. Yeah. It's worship, yes. Yeah. But it's even more than that. It's purpose.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
It is to man. You know, this is the gathering, the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people. This is a spiritual thing. Mm. This is like, there is a blessing when God's church gathers that will manifest to the world something of the glory of God.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's people, not buildings. Again, we're very aware of that as a church, you know, who that has been meeting in various venues, and we just make every venue work. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to have a proper, I think, theological understanding. Interestingly, one of the pivotal moments, I've talked about this many times, Matthew 16, Caesarea Philippi, probably the pivotal moment or one of the pivotal moments before the cross, in the ministry of Jesus, Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And then, of course, Peter answers, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that was a key moment. Mm-hmm. He recognized who Jesus was, and then Jesus says, on this rock, when he says on this rock, he's not talking about Peter, but he's talking about what the revelation that Peter has received. Yeah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And on this revelation, that's how I'm going to build my church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's on the revelation,
right,
not only of who Jesus is, but on the authority of Jesus,
right. So good.
As well. And that last point there is utterly crucial. Mm. This really challenges the spirit of individualism that is very much going on in our world at the moment. Mm. That is not church. Mm-hmm. That is the antithesis of God's house. Again, that's why Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 11, 12, 13. He talks about churches being like a body. Every member needs everybody else. Well, you know, that means we need to be together. That means we need to function. This is not just theory. This is functionality. Yeah. This is us doing stuff together, serving together as well. So I think that we need to have a clear, and there's much more I could say on that, but I think I would encourage everybody to read the book of Ephesians and get a proper theological understanding of church. There was an attempt a lot of years ago, there was a theology out there deconstructing the church. Jesus said, I come to build my church, and the whole bunch of Christians wanting to tear it down or change it or whatever. Listen, 2020 was the experiment that everybody ever, you know, all these people wanted.
Right.
Does a deconstructed, non-existent, non-meeting church work? Answer, no.
Yeah, right.
Not at all.
It doesn't. The experiment showed it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, that when we are together, when we are doing life together, when we're doing community together, that is a better, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a better reflection of the theology of Ephesians and Matthew 16, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Anything to add to that?
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, I guess one of the,
well,
I was just thinking ladies first, but you know, and
you were going to throw your wife under a bus there.
I think with the whole online thing, I think, you know, we talked about positively engaging, and, you know, the Bible talks about how, you know, it's like a body and like every person has a part to play. Yeah. Well, actually, I suppose one of the things that's very easy to fall into with doing online church is to see it as a box tick exercise and to think, okay, so I've tuned into church. And
in fairness, the same could be said of in-person services.
Well. Very true. Mm. It's very,
you
very
could
true.
Kind of an in-person service, and that's the box tick. For the week, isn't
box
it?
Tick. I suppose that's 100% true. If I think about myself, I would consider that it's easier to do with online because whereas if I show up, actually I'm going to have conversations just incidentally, whether I want to or not want to. But if I'm online, it's very easy to have that. Whereas actually, you know, we've really got to fight to be a part of the church online.
Yeah, I think I was thinking along a similar lines, to be honest. I totally agree with everything that you said, Pastor Owen. I think that mention about almost individuality coming first a lot nowadays, I think that's very true. And I think what I would probably find to be one of the biggest dangers of online church is that it's now acceptable and even encouraged to prioritize personal comfort and maybe even apathy, I'll go as far as to say, over actually what will help us to grow.
Right.
I think it's very much the case, tried and tested in pretty much every field, that what pushes you out of your comfort zone is what will help you to grow. And I think for the most part, human nature is to stay in the comfort zone, isn't it? And actually, I think online church has been a comfort zone for a lot of people, and for many reasons has worked incredibly well and has provided an amazing forum, as we talked about, a place for people to still meet and still encounter God's presence. But I think that now we have the option again. I mean, what I think we have the privilege of being able to meet in person again. And I think that maybe people aren't seeing it like that, but are thinking, oh, it's so much easier to stay at home. And that's worked okay, so I'll just carry on doing that. Whereas I think the almost perspective needs to shift, that what an honor that we get to meet as God's house and God's people. What an honor that I get to be grown in my faith and grown in my worship and grown in my service in God's name, because that's what we've been called to as a church.
I 100% agree. And I was just thinking, you talk about growing there. It just reminded me, someone once said, you know, don't be a flowerpot Christian. And, you know, what they were getting at was this idea that I can be planted in a flower pot where, you know, it's just me and it's Jesus and, you know, we're going to be all right. But actually, you know, if you talk about where you want to go to grow, mm-hmm. actually, you know, you can be so much more than a flower pot Christian. You know, you get mm-hmm. you don't want to be planted in a pot. You want to be planted in the forest mm-hmm. yeah. where there's the room to grow, where you're going to get all the nutrients that you need. And, you know, like you think in church, where you're going to get all the people that are going to stand with you and pray for you, all the Christians yeah. that are going to encourage you. You're going to yeah. be, you know, submitted to, you know, amazing teaching where you can really be challenged to apply that to life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love that our, you know, the vision, Pastor Ray, that you and Pastor Day have for the Junction Church and that we carry is to see you yes. flourish. Well, actually, to flourish to the fullness of what we, of what God has put inside us to become. Well, actually, we want to be a part yeah. of a real church, yeah. not just stuck in a little flower pot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely. And I think that, again, for those who are making, again, I think what we're trying to do is be careful in this season because for a lot of people, they really value online church for all kinds of reasons. Mm. You know, again, for some people, it's just reticence to come back because they've not received the vaccine yet. For others, it's because they don't live in the nation. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking in, but you love it and you're connecting in.
Right.
So what I would encourage you to do again is that initial comment, be intentional
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Give it some effort when you're watching online church. I mean, don't be too flippant with it. Give it some effort. Mm. Make it a meaningful experience. Mm. But I think theologically my preference would always be to be in the room because of all the reasons mentioned here, but also because of the potential to encounter God.
Yeah.
Again, that's probably something that has struck me again in this season is there's a renewed hunger for just that raw presence of God.
Mm.
I was hungry for it when I was a kid. Mm. I've gone through ministry. Have there been times when I've been complacent with it? You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
But in this season, coming back, even last Sunday, in fact, you know, we're sitting in the Beacon now, and last Sunday... Oof. Mm. We had a worship time, and honestly, we're not meant to sing, but hey, you know, how do you police that?
Yeah.
We've got all the windows open, it's perfectly ventilated, and, you know, when people who have been redeemed by God's grace are in the room and there's a song about grace, how can you not engage?
So true.
And honestly, I felt the presence of God from the top of my head to the soles of my feet in a way that I've not felt it for a long time. I was just reflecting on it afterwards. Grateful for the honor and the privilege of being able to sit in God's presence. I think it's renewed a hunger for me to experience the presence of God again. And as our services go on, we've got pretty short services at the moment. And we're not going to unnecessarily lengthen those services just for the sake of making them longer. But what we do want to do is facilitate in our in-person services an encounter in the presence of God. And again, that for me would be a reason to want to be in the room because...
So
yeah, you know, I don't just want to watch it. It's like a football match. I don't just want to watch it, you know, from the living room, but I want to be a part of it, you know, and I want to experience this for myself.
Yeah, right.
Let's think about then the lessons. Now, here's something that has bothered me a little bit as well, and maybe this is me just being a little, I don't know, contrarian because
ready.
I am. But I keep hearing a lot of Christians saying, what is God saying in this season? What is God saying? What is God saying? And, you know, how do we need to change? Mm. And then I keep hearing this term, the new normal, and I'm a bit fed up with it because I've never personally enjoyed normal anyway. Normal has never worked. I like, you know, for me, this is a new abnormal. And that's what we've got to just manage in this season as well. But like,
that's good.
I think sometimes there's the danger of us over-egging. What we need to learn. See, we need to learn that there are lots of ways of doing church. Well, I don't know. I just think we got to be careful.
Yeah.
For me, and again, this is something that's gone on in my heart, it's not just about adapting, you know, but there are some things that we've got to hold on to like never before.
So,
some truths of scripture that we've got to hold on to like never before. And not let go of them. And in this season, there is the temptation, and I would even say the danger, of letting go of some really powerful truths.
Right.
Because truth is truth, no matter what the season. You know, for me, that's really important. Joe, what do we need to, in the season that we've just had, what do we need to leave behind And what do we need to bring with us moving forward? Shoot.
I think back to what Becca was talking about earlier and how our natural disposition as human beings sometimes, and especially now that we have the option of online church, could be to just kind of relax in this comfortable bubble whilst we're spoon-fed church, right? Mm. And it's just presented to us. Mm. And I think, if anything, and you talked about, you know, that there's definitely what this last year or last season has shown is that we absolutely need a local church. Like, sure, you just need it. It has to be there. Yeah. And I think we've got to leave comfort behind and take conviction forward and just kind of go forward knowing this is important. Mm. You know, like, it can't be a secondary thing. It can't be a thing that you just leave by the wayside. Yeah. And so then, regardless of what the future looks like and regardless of what the context, I guess, of society looks like, the one thing that has to stay for us is we've got to have community. We've got to have our local church. And I think that's something that we just need to be really... I feel like sometimes, like, when I hear that statement about, like, oh, yeah, the new normal, I sometimes think it's a bit pretentious. It's like, what, are you going to suddenly manufacture the way that the church is going to be? Like, didn't Jesus said that he will build his church? Do you think he's shocked by all of this? Do you think he's, like, trying to figure out what's going to happen? Like, come on. Like, no, all we need to do is just what we've always done as church.
Submit. Well, yeah, and the danger with the new normal is that it's almost, again, it's more subtle than this, but it's almost an implication. The times have changed, so we have to change as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And that is as far removed from what the Bible says as it's possible to get. So either you believe the Bible or you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a pretty strong statement, but I think that in a world of extremes, we Christians need to really have some extreme faith going on. You either believe the Bible or you don't. You either believe what Jesus says or you're going to faff around and do it your way. And I think that if I hear the voice of God saying anything, it is that God is looking for people who will be true to his word, who will be faithful. I mean, that's the words that really matter on that final day. Well done, good and faithful servant. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? That gets me every time. Will he find faith? Will there be anybody who actually believes what God says? Yeah. So in this season, new normal? No, we live in a world of not the ordinary, but the extraordinary. We don't live in the realm of the natural. We live in the realm of the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Everything about what we do is supernatural. God is the one who puts the super into our natural. He's the one who puts the extra into our ordinary.
Right.
He's the one who makes life worth living. What a bland, boring, colorless, you know, tedious life it would be if we just adapt to the new normal. The situations have happened, so let's all adapt. And somehow this is what God is saying. God is saying, I'm looking for, where's faith? Will I find faith? And I feel that there, if anything is going to happen in this season, there is going to be a staring, there's going to be a challenging. Yeah. This preacher here is going to get more annoying.
Come on. We're ready.
And anointed. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, the older you get, the less you've got to lose as well. It's fantastic, Joe. Try it. It's amazing, Becca. You get here, you think, one day you'll understand what the old boy is talking about. But actually, no, I'm not going to compromise. Because again, that's the danger with the new normal. We've got to compromise. Again, that's not what's said, but it's almost implied.
That's true.
We've got to compromise now. Yeah. What and become something that God has never called us to be. Mm. We're not a socially, you know, we're not social activists. We are kingdom people.
Right. Yeah.
So good.
No compromise. You think about compromises, you never compromise up. You ever notice that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You always compromise down.
Yeah, right.
So in this season, that's why I think there's a provocation from the Holy Spirit to say to a generation, get your butt to church.
Yeah.
Get into the presence of God. Encounter God.
That's great.
See God for who he is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, revel in his presence. And once you taste and see that the Lord is good, nothing else will do. Everything else is just like not even second best, not even third best. Yeah. It's like not even close. Mm-hmm. There's not even a comparison to be made.
Yeah. Right.
And for me, that's really, really important.
Mm.
Let me just ask you one more. So I'm preaching here, but it's
so good.
Uh, We've had a lot of people join us, of course, in this season. You've had a lot of people join in Leicester. We've had a lot of people join in Liverpool. A lot of people join in Nottingham. Somebody who's just become a part of our church in this strange season. Our philosophy, our theology is you get involved, we get you involved, we want you to get involved, ASAP, you got a part to play, and part of our grace is to help you play that part. How does somebody do that? Comes in and they're not just a pew filler, but they actually function.
Yeah. I mean, as Pastor has said, you know, our philosophy at the Junction Church is that, you know, we just do life. And so, you know, we want you to come, we want you to get connected and be a part of it. And hey, if you're watching right now and you just want to seize the moment and think, yeah, do you know what, right now I want to play my part. What you can do is actually just make the decision now to just send a text. You can send a text to 07736975218. They'll put that number in the comments for you as well. And if you just text the words "I'm in," we'll get back to you and we'll help you really connect in as well. Because there's so many ways to get connected in. We've got life groups. There's all kinds of teams that you can be a part of, and we'll really help you like find your fit.
It's never going to be a 5-star church. You're looking for a 5-star church, not find it here. This is a construction site, so the best thing you can do in this season is put a hard hat on, not this one. Hard hat, get a shovel, get digging.
Love it.
And let's build something for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And let's really go for it. Becca, how do people get involved?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's exactly it. It's that sort of, church isn't one way, is it? I think it's the, maybe again, one of the dangers of online churches is that two-way being involved, the teams you can be a part of. I know as well, I feel like I should represent for the girls that there's, we've got Sisterhood going on at the moment, which is fantastic. We're doing, reading some books, getting involved. I think the next one's on the 17th of May. I'm going to say that with some confidence. I'll tell you in the chat. But I mean, I'm going to plug life groups again, to be honest with you. I think there are a lot of people who would not have got through this time without having a midweek community to meet with and chat with, even though it's over Zoom, it's from the comfort of your own home, it's brilliant. But as Jonah was saying, send us a message, get involved. It's no one has ever regretted being part of a life group, I'll tell you that. So come and join us.
Yeah. Of course, as a church, our heart and the heart of everything we do is to serve people, is to try to create opportunities for people. I would say I'm the CEO of this church, the chief encouragement officer. It's what I do. It's what we do. We try to do it all the time. We try to create a culture where we champion people.
Yeah.
We give some boundaries. We try to help people. We don't always get it right, but we try our best to do that. But in terms of people who come into church, you know, and they've just joined, what is the best attitude that somebody can have so that they can make it work?
Yeah. I think the best attitude is to be servant-hearted. I know it's one of those cliche things, but I think it's important. And you've always got to think, how can I serve something that's greater than me? And never how can I, you know, and I guess this is going to the extreme, but never how can I impose myself on this thing? So it's not I'm coming in to make a difference. It's I'm coming in to be part of a difference.
Right.
You know, like, ooh, you know, God is already like using this church to make a difference, and we all have a part to play. You know, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians. So it's actually thinking, hey, I can actually be a part of this, and I can serve this thing, and I can help this thing go along, and it will benefit me a lot. But I'm not coming in to kind of take over or you know, be manipulative or anything like that. And I think that's really important, you know, being teachable as well, because I think the exciting thing about our church is, you know, with the way that we've grown, I guess, especially over the last year, now we have a whole online element to stuff that we're doing, but we've got loads and loads of teams at the Junction Church. There's so much that someone can do. And, you know, we're quite open for people to try things out, you know, try out this team, see how if it works for you, great. You know, if it doesn't, there's loads of other teams you can try. And I think that's the thing. We're open. We love to see people grow. We love to see people upskill themselves. And I think
the thing with the Junction Church is, and this is really important, I think, for anybody who comes in, and I know most people get this, but it's worth stating it. The prize is not the platform.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The prize is not the platform. Anybody who ever stands on that stage, they've got to be the greatest servants in the house. And that's an expectation I have of myself, of anybody who stands up there. So I would say that when you manage that expectation, you get that sorted out in your mind, you realize that's not a prize. I mean, anybody who ever stands up there, it's just a way of serving people and encouraging. But we're all in this together. This is God's house, mm-hmm. and we want you to just get stuck in and be a great example of it. What was that number again, Jonah? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I'll get that number again. So
because I'm going to put it up here on the comments. I don't think they quite caught it.
It's 07736975219752188.
What? Eight.
Yeah.
So there, I've just put it on the comments on the YouTube.
There you go.
And there's 07736975218. That's the number mm-hmm. that you should text or call. Mm-hmm. You say, I want to get stuck in. I just want to do whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love that. That's what gets my, I guess, gets my respect, you know, gets my admiration is people who just came. I remember when Becca first came.
Hey.
Let me tell you about Jonah.
There we go.
Let me tell you about
Jonah. I never come out well.
Great story.
I never come out well.
Get another cup of tea.
I feel privileged to have had a little part in just bringing this beautiful couple together. And Becca came into the church. Oh my word! It was 4 or 5 years, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it was. But I remember just observing. You just came in and you just got stuck in. Mm. You were putting things out on seats. You were, you know, sorting things out, cleaning stuff, just to make, you know, prepare it for all of our guests who would come to church that day. And that really just got my attention right away. Just that servant heart, you know, just coming in, doing whatever it takes. And I think that's the kind of vibe that has got to be going on.
And then you said to Jonah, you have got to marry that.
And I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, Jonah, do you know Becca? I said, you marry that girl or I will personally excommunicate you from the church.
And here we both
so
are.
There
here
you both are. Married.
That is the ministry.
You will be married 2 years this summer.
Oh. And it all started because she put some cards out on chairs. So there you go.
Oh, it was a wild ride. I was on the welcome team. Someone asked me where the toilets were. I said, your guest is as good as mine, my friend.
You know, the thing is, you talked about sisterhood. What Sisterhood are doing is brilliant.
It's
I love
so
it.
Good.
You know, they're doing the book studies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think from a guy's perspective, this is going to be too general. I think that from a lot of guys' perspective. Guys don't really connect. I mean, maybe it's just me over coffee in Starbucks, sitting down, having a coffee. Let's chat, you know. I personally find that a bit of an on-rail situation because guys are not normally like that. Okay, some are, I get it, but not all guys are like that. Most guys are not like that. Yeah. Guys will talk when they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when they're lugging equipment into the auditorium and the banter. And then when somebody's having an off day or something, somebody says, hey, you all right, mate? And then they'll chat afterwards. They'll chat, that's where really great friendships are developed. It's not in the context of Starbucks or Costa Coffee or, you know, or
Cafe
Nero, theory.
Yeah. I was going to say Cafe
Nero. Cafe Nero, you know, which can be very theoretical. And those kind of relationships and friendships, the challenge is that they tend to be quite temporal. Because you run out of stuff to talk about it. And in your mind, you're bored by them after the second coffee or whatever. Whereas and I'm just being honest, this is what everybody thinks.
I relate.
You make it look like, oh, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And you're right, before you go in, you think, oh, not another one. Whereas when you're doing stuff, that's the best way to make friends because you're fulfilling purpose, you're serving others, you're fulfilled because you're doing something that's helping other people, and then you're making great friends in the process.
So my closest guy friends or my closest friends anyway, guy friends, my closest friends are the people that I've served with the most. Mm. You know, I think of my housemate, I think of the likes of Noel. Like, these are guys that I've served with for years. And, you know, it's in, like, the doing that the friendship was built. And I think you're absolutely right. I think majority of guys do connect that way. And, you know, and that's a perk. So why not get serving? You know, if you want to build great relationships, it's not just going to manufacture itself. You've got to get stuck in. And where's the best place to do it? God's house.
So look, it's a big season ahead, and obviously we're going to have a really good season. Let's make the most of this year. I just want to encourage you today. We've not even scratched the surface of what could be said on so many things, but we've come out of a season. Are there lessons to learn? I'm just trying to summarize now this. Are there lessons to learn? Yes. Are there things that we've got to learn? Yes. Are there things that we need to bring with us? Yes. Are there things that we need to leave behind in this season as well, though? And I hear very few people asking that question. Strangely, isn't it? I hear very few Christians asking that question. What do we need to leave behind?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing we need to leave behind, which is fear. I think fear is an awful, awful, like almost like a paralysis. It stops people. You know, it takes away logic. It takes away sanity.
Yeah.
People are build their whole lives on fear-based decisions, and, and then they don't do anything. It's like paralyzed. They can't move. We need to leave fear behind. We need to leave unbelief behind. We need to leave behind, you know, the sense of any sense of laziness. Only reason, and again, I would check motives. You know, if the only reason why I'm watching online church is because I can't be bothered to, you know, to go to the church, that is no reason to watch online church. I mean, if you're watching online church because you've got a job that means, or there's a circumstance where you physically can't get, or, you know, or you're in another country, or you're in another part of the of the country, or whatever. I mean, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But my challenge would be, do not allow convenience. You know, the call of God is never convenient.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Again, the words of Jesus, you know, whoever wants to be my disciple, you take up your cross, you deny yourself, you follow me. You follow me. That means that means action. You follow me. So I would say that in this season, in summary, then let's take the things we need to take. Online church is a deal. But let's recognize that the church is a spiritual house. That's why we call it God's house. And it operates according to kingdom culture.
That's
and that's what we want to see in the Junction Church. We want to see heaven on earth. That's what every church should be, a little bit of heaven on earth. It's the remit of every local church, not just one or two, but like every church. So I would encourage you to really think that through in this season. And, you know, I hope that something that has been said tonight has maybe stirred your heart a little bit and has provoked your faith, and we just love you. And honestly, in this season, we've tried our best to serve and done a lot of good things. We're going to be, actually, we'll announce this on Sunday, but in this next season, we're going to be receiving a special offering in the church called Above and Beyond. Above and Beyond.
So good.
That's the name of the offering. We want to go above and beyond, and it's got all kinds of connotations, going above and beyond in terms of what I'm currently giving or whatever, but also going above and beyond where we've ever been before. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't even want to survive this season. We want to thrive. We want to grow. We have grown, but we want to go even further. We want to get everything that God's got for us and see a load of people coming into faith. So we'll be talking more about that on Sunday. Watch out for that. We'll also mention that on social media as well. And we're really going to believe for just lots of people to come in and get engaged. And not when I say get engaged, I don't mean, okay, we'll have lots of engagements as well, but I mean really engage with church.
Escalated quickly.
Great stuff. Listen, great to have you with us today. Keep following us on social media, where you're going to hear lots of other things about how you can get involved in church, like, for example, the worship team. We're looking for more people to get involved in that. We're looking for great musicians. We can say more about that on the social media, can't we?
Yeah, we can, yeah. Got a post planned out.
Yeah,
great. Listen, thanks for joining us tonight, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed it?
Loved it.
The time goes fast, isn't it?
Yeah, so good.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Wow, that was like an outro.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I know, that was from a kids' program my sister used to watch when she was younger. It's just stuck with me forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
Neither do
Join the worship team, everybody.
Yeah, no, not on that performance.
It sounded like you were sucking helium there. Well.
That was the intended effect, to be fair.
Was it really?
Yeah, I was
very powerful. Nailed we'll teach you these things on worship. Anyway, listen, have a wonderful evening. Enjoy. It's good to see that the bright nights are here as well for a little season, so that's good. And we love you, church. We can't wait. Don't forget, book in for services on Sunday. Where you go to the website, junctionchurch.net, you'll see all the service times on there. And we're going to believe for a really great season as well.
Come on.
Are you a positive church? You better believe we are. Better than being an old cynical, negative church where everybody's complaining and gossiping and moaning and groaning. I don't want to be a part of a church like that. I want to be young at heart and part of a church that's young at heart and that's got some get up and go and doesn't complain but does something about stuff. And that's the kind of church that I'm believing that we're going to see more and more and more.
Good.
So, amazing. Thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you have a really wonderful evening, and speak to you soon.